Welcome into Ring Knowers on 102.5, 106.3 The Game and The Game Nashville Sports Network. Connor Newt with you as always, joined by Christian Skelton, again, as always. And this may be the quickest episode we've ever thrown out there. And because of that, we're going raw. We have no notes. No notes whatsoever. It's just going to be a reaction.
I don't know if it's going to end up being the quickest episode, but definitely the quickest turnaround we've done after
the
show.
That's what I meant. Not the quickest episode.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot to talk about.
And to be fair, we want to get this out as quickly as possible because we've not talked in a while. We have not talked since WrestleMania. Yeah, you know, final exams happen right around WrestleMania. It you know, things happen. Life happens, and we got busy. And yeah, but hey, we're here now, and we're ready to talk Backlash.
That's right. Backlash in St. Louis just finished up as we are recording this on Saturday night at approximately 9:45 p.m. What a pay-per-view, first of all. For a pay-per-view, I went in not expecting much. Not too many big guys on the card that were really draws to me, other than Randy Orton and John Cena. That was great. Every match was good.
Yeah, I mean, I think unlike WrestleMania, unfortunately, I know we never really got to do a whole WrestleMania review, unfortunately, but unlike WrestleMania, there were definitely some matches at WrestleMania where you were like, okay, does this match really need to be on the card? I did not feel that way tonight at all.
No, it all felt necessary. It didn't feel thrown together like I was worried it was going to.
Yeah.
It all had great story elements.
I don't know if we're going to go through each match one by one or whatever, but the one match I do want to go and just give my flowers to that I came into with zero expectations was Pat and Gunther. That match was actually a lot better than I thought it was
going to
be.
Well, let's start there since you just brought it up.
Okay,
we'll go a little bit out of order. But Pat and Gunther. Pat McAfee and Gunther. Is it Gunther or Gunther?
I don't know how to say it. Who cares?
It's whatever. I'm American. Anyways, honestly, I expected like a quick two-minute squash match. Going to be real quick. Gunther's going to go on a reign of terror. Pat held his own, first of all. Maybe not just for the story elements, but for a physical toll that probably took on his body, he held his own. Like, there were times in that match you looked at his face and he was dark red. Like, I thought his head was going to pop off.
A lot of people hate on McAfee in the IWC, as they call it.
Which we don't tolerate on this show.
No. And here's my thing on Pat. You go do it in there and take all those chops from Gunther. Like, you go do it. If you think it's so easy and that he doesn't deserve his flowers for this, why don't you go do it? And honestly, like, yeah, he messed up some stuff. He's also not paid there to be a wrestler. He's paid there to be a commentator and wrestle, you know, every once in a blue moon. And guess what?
He's got some athleticism.
And every once in a blue moon he does it. I wouldn't say he holds his own necessarily, but he does a pretty dang good job, in my opinion.
I think they executed the finish perfectly.
Yeah.
Because Pat lost, obviously, but he didn't lose fully clean. He didn't lose via pinfall. He lost kind of via TKO on a headlock from Gunther, and it kind of just knocked him out. But, you know, Michael Cole got involved in the match. He kind of cheated to help Pat win.
He tried
in a face way, which is kind of funny. But unfortunately, we didn't really get to hear the commentary as I was here actually working, producing. But it sounded like Michael was, you know, just firing at Gunther the entire time. And that's exactly how it should be. I want to go back and watch it with full audio just so I can hear. I'll probably go back and watch the whole pay-per-view with full audio, or at least key parts. But
yeah, I would like to kind of hear what Wade was saying too that whole time. Like,
well, Wade hopped on play-by-play the whole time.
That's what I'm saying. He was probably going crazy. And yeah, I kind of like how they use Michael in this as well. Because I think Michael obviously is what started that whole thing, so you had to use him at some point in that match. And I thought with what it was and what they were trying to accomplish there, they did a very good job with it. I saw people complain, like, there's no way Gunther just gave Pat his flowers. I was like, that's kind of the whole point of what that storyline was.
I mean, he earned his respect.
He held
his own. And
yeah, and Gunther obviously was like, okay, you know what? You definitely aren't as strong as me, and I'm definitely like, I overmatched you by a lot, but you know what? You stood in here and you battled with me for like 20 minutes, and I respect it.
Yeah.
That's what that was.
I think this is kind of a one-off. I don't think we'll ever revisit this story in the future. I think this was kind of just a match to throw at Gunther so we can get him on the card. And, you know, it's fun for the people of St. Louis to go see Pat McAfee too, but I was worried this was going to be, you know, this is how we write Pat off TV for a little while. doesn't feel that way with the way the
match ended. No, if they were going to do that, they'd probably do it like, you know, right before football season.
Well, unless we tune in on Raw on Monday and we just see Gunther come in and take him out.
Beat the crap out of him for no reason.
Stretcher it off to a local medical facility since we can't say hospital.
That's the one thing from the Vince era that I'm surprised they haven't gotten rid of yet that they've just kept for some reason. The local medical facility, I've never understood.
I mean, we've gotten rid of superstars. We call them full-on wrestlers now. Thank you.
They still use superstar, but they don't. You don't like half like.
Yeah, it's not
calling somebody a wrestler.
It's not banned.
Isn't going to get you. Yeah, that's not banned anymore.
I mean, they use full on terms that we hear like over and face and heel and finisher, and you know things that we as fans know, but as Jim Cornette says, it's revealing the business. We don't want to reveal the business.
That's a really good Jim.
I'm okay with them peeling back the curtain a little bit.
Yeah, I am as well. I mean, we're kind of getting off track here,
but the whole
Netflix show, I don't know how I feel about them pulling it back that much.
I'm
not complaining because I'm excited for it, but at the same time, like if I'm one of those writers in that room, I'm like, why are these idiots in here? Can I not just work in peace?
I mean, it depends on what story they go with.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, they looked like from the trailer it was just going to be the build of WrestleMania, which I'm very excited to see
That's how
they came up with. Let's have Jey Uso win the Royal Rumble, but whatever.
I want to see how The Rock gets involved.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Or how he doesn't get involved.
Yeah, probably a little bit more of that, to be honest.
But back on Gunther and Pat, would you say this match stole the show for you?
I don't know if it stole the show, just because Cena and Orton was so good.
I mean, that was incredible.
I think there's an argument for that being the second best match of the night. I think so.
I think it's between that one and the one I want to break down next, and that's the Fatal 4-Way that kicked off the show.
Oh, yeah, tremendous match.
Incredible match. Yeah. I mean, that's one of those matches where, you know, I like everyone in there, love three of the four, but I didn't think it was going to really be effective because I knew how it was going to end. They weren't taking the belt off of Jacob Fatu. But the build throughout the match was phenomenal. And then, of course, they bring in the guy whose name I'm still learning to join the Bloodline, Jeff Cobb.
Yes.
Okay, Jeff Cobb.
Who's apparently not a Fatu. He's just a Samoan.
Who I don't know anything about.
Neither do I. So we are not the place to come to for that.
Yeah, so don't come to us. But curious to see how that storyline builds. Jacob looked very mad about it. And then in his press conference, he kind of dodged the question when they asked him about, you know.
Okay, I didn't even see that.
Yeah,
okay.
He was like, look at my face. Do I look happy right now? And then that was kind of it. But so
interesting.
They're clearly building towards this Jacob versus Solo storyline. Hopefully they don't turn Jacob face because I really kind of don't want to see
really?
That.
I don't think I'd hate it too much.
He's too psychotic
to
be a face.
Not yet. I don't want him to turn face yet. But I wouldn't mind it. Honestly. I mean, I get it. I get what your point is of like he's too psychotic to be a face, but I mean you could theoretically say the same about Randy, and we love Randy, and he's crazy.
That dude's crazy.
But
that dude's insane.
I don't know. I mean, I get your point though. But yeah, I mean, honestly, a lot of times Fatal 4-Way is kind of like for me just because like
you just gave me a dream match I want to see now.
There's Randy and Jacob. Yeah, we'll get it eventually, I think. But yeah, like Fatal 4-Ways for me sometimes it's just like you know, there's only so much you can do. But like. This is like the perfect way to do a Fatal 4-Way the way they did this. Like
I feel like each
guy kind of had their moment with each guy, and
you split them up towards the end where it was Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre battling out in the crowd, and then they basically killed each other and both took each other out. Then you had LA Knight who just got the belt taken off of him in sort of a rematch at one point. It was just one on one.
Yeah,
Solo gets involved, and then we see Jeff Cobb come out of the crowd. To which you and I both said in unison, who is that?
He looks a lot like Rhino. Have you noticed this?
In a way.
A little bit.
Well, we said.
I thought it was Tongaloa.
We said another one? Question mark?
I thought it was Tongaloa. It was not Tongaloa, though. It was another Samoan. Do you think Tonga will be upset that he got replaced?
Where are they? I know one of them is hurt. Are they both hurt?
Oh, I forgot. Where is Tama Tonga?
I think he got hurt.
Did he get hurt too? I know
he got no. He got hurt in War Games. That's what
Tonga
it was.
Loa got hurt in War Games. I don't know where Tama is.
I think he's hurt too.
Yeah,
they're both hurt. I don't miss either of them, but I'm happy with the finish of that match.
I am as well.
I think they did the right thing by keeping Jacob. I mean, he's had it 3 weeks, so you knew he wasn't going to lose it. But they did.
By the way, to what you just said with it being 3 weeks, that's my only complaint about this. A lot of these matches, I feel like, didn't get the build they really should have.
That's why I said it didn't feel thrown together like I thought it would.
Like,
because going into this, the only match that I felt had build to it was Randy and Cena. Because,
yeah.
I mean, we've been seeing that every week. But, you know, Lyra and Becky, sort of.
Yeah.
They've had like two segments, it felt like. Pat and Gunther, sort of. Not really.
And at least they started building that one the night after WrestleMania.
The Fatal 4-Way, sort of. Like, you had the story with LA Knight and Fatu, but the other two were kind of just thrown in there, it felt like, at one point. And then they executed great. Dom and Penta was the one that really felt thrown together. Like, hey, they fought one time. Let's put them together. That was probably the worst match of the night for me.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of either of them.
Well,
hot take, I'm not a Penta guy. I'm more of a Rey Fénix guy.
Yeah, we agree on that. I mean, Penta's not terrible, but I think we both like Fénix. And maybe when they get put together as a tag team, because we know that's coming eventually, maybe we'll like them a little bit better.
Maybe.
You never know. I've been loving what Dom's been doing recently, personally. I mean, that huge pop he got at WrestleMania is still hilarious to me.
Hilarious.
But you know why I liked this match. The ending. Our guy, El Grande Americano, costs Penta the match.
Our guy.
In a way only he can. The greatest luchador in the history of luchador.
Oh, my God. That was phenomenal. We had some great cameos tonight.
I'm not even kidding. He's literally one of my top three favorite guys right now on the roster.
Not even skill-based, just because.
Just because he's so funny. And it's just, every time he comes out there, he just has me rolling laughing. So.
I'm just thinking about the great appearances we had tonight from humor characters.
Oh, yes. We'll get to the main one later.
But Becky and Lyra. That was phenomenal.
Yeah,
I was very solid. I was not expecting a lot of that one. I'm a big fan of Lyra Valkyria. I'm just gonna say it. She's great. I think she's very talented, and I think she looks the part. And then Becky Lynch will always deliver. It seems like she's always in the main event scene. They execute. That was an abrupt finish, but
But I always hate abrupt finishes like that. To me, whenever I see that on a pay-per-view, I'm like, oh, this is just a normal Raw match now.
Would you have preferred just a clean finish?
That's what I always prefer. I mean, it's not a huge thing for me, but like I was like, it takes it off a little bit.
See, I'm okay with the roll-up because now it's going to set up another match. She's going to come back. Becky's going to come back and be like, well, you didn't.
Especially with what happened after the match.
Yeah.
Becky beat her up.
Beat the hell out of her afterwards. You're going to get. On Monday, it's going to come back, well, you didn't beat me fair and square. Let's do this with a stipulation on it. Let's go no holds barred. Let's go falls count anywhere. Let's do some steel cage. Let's do
probably
some.
Probably at Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Or maybe. Well,
it's just very close.
Saturday night, they'll probably. I don't think they do it. Because that's. Yeah, Saturday night's main event's 2 weeks away, by the way.
They'll put the other women's mid-card title on that show.
Those shows to me are kind of like house shows. Honestly, nothing really ever happens on them.
I mean, they're
fun to watch though.
They're canon, but they're also not canon. Yeah. If that makes sense. I'm thankful we're getting Jay and Logan Paul out of the way for that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm glad they're doing that on that for sure.
But I thought that match was. I was super impressed with some of the spots that came up.
Yeah, I was as well. I mean, those two girls are two of the best ones they got right now, and they went out there and they proved it. And yeah, Lyra's going to be...
She's going to be a world champion one day.
She's going to be the best wrestler they got in that division one day, for sure. And they could be sooner than we think. So
see, I think they're giving her kind of the Bron Breakker treatment.
Yeah.
Dominates the mid-card title scene for a while. Then when she's ready, we'll push her to the main event
She's
scene.
The fourth man! I'm kidding.
She joins Seth and Bron. No, when she's ready, they'll push her to the main title. I'd love to see her in Tiffany Stratton duke it out. I'd love to see her in Rhea Ripley. Or who's the...
Io.
Io.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be a great
match. That would be...
for sure.
Bianca Belair, throw her in there.
Yeah.
She gets me excited for the
women's... Did you see Bianca's finger, by the way?
I did not.
She's got like a... It literally looks like she's got a baseball on her finger. Because that's why she's out right now. She hurt her finger in the match. It literally is like, it's wild. You gotta go look that
this
up.
This is swollen?
Yeah, it's that swollen.
Wow. We're breaking news here on this show.
Yeah. Well, to you, I guess.
To me. Yeah, only me. But that match got me excited about women's wrestling. I like women's wrestling. I always sit down and watch a women's match if it's two good, talented girls. This one I wasn't excited for because I thought, they're just going to give it to Becky. It's going to be a throwaway match. Lyra held her own, man.
Yeah, she definitely did.
She looked great.
Really? You thought Becky was going to win coming into this?
It's Becky Hogan, dude.
That's a good point. You can never be too Becky sure. Hogan. Becky Hogan.
She has secret creative control. I'm 99% certain.
Yeah, I think we all are.
Have we broken down every match until the main event?
I think we have.
Okay.
I don't think there's one we've missed. See, that's the thing.
I mean, it was five matches.
That's the thing with Triple H's pay-per-views. He does not put many matches on.
Which I'm okay with.
Which, I mean, I guess it was already over at 8:30, which I guess I'm cool with. Or I guess it was probably more like 9.
You know why? Because they want to make time for their press conference, so you stick around and watch it.
Ah, wow. I've never thought of this before. Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's the sports in me.
Holy moly, you just blew my mind with that. Wow, okay, so that explains why he only does like four or five matches.
You know what that's called? That's called capital J journalism, my man.
Capital J journalism.
That's how we
know.
There
you go.
All right, let's spend a little bit of time on this main event.
Let's do it.
Randy and John Cena. Ironically, my guy versus your guy.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, the two of the best of all time.
The two best from our generation.
I mean, always been battling out, but with reverse roles. Cena as the heel, Orton as the face. They got going right from the get-go, man. I mean, there were some incredible spots. You had an attitude adjustment that turned into an RKO. You had...
Which I feel like they've done that spot like 20 times, but it's still great.
It's still cool. You had, you know, John Cena's doing his run on the ropes comeback move, as they call
it.
Into
an RKO.
Into an RKO. You had Randy AA Cena onto the commentary table, which I think accidentally broke. And you had a theory about this.
So
that I'll let you
right after that, Randy goes and grabs at another table. But I think now we didn't have the audio all the way up. The crowd might have been chanting one more time or "We want tables."
They were chanting
the
"We
two.
Want tables."
So that might have had something to do with it. But I swear, Randy and Cena, you know, communicated off camera or whatever, and they were like, "You want to do it again?" He's like, "Yeah, sure." And I bet they did not like how that went, because then the table ended up breaking like afterwards. I don't know if Randy did that or what.
I think that was accidental.
Like. So I think they did not like how the announce table spot went, and they said, you know, let's just do it again with a normal table. And I think that's why they did it twice. That's my theory on that.
But which I'm okay with. I think that's
awesome.
Cool
with that, too. I thought that was cool. Yeah.
I mean, it's clear that both of these guys have A-plus chemistry. They've been working 100%. Together for 25 years. So,
and that's one thing I think that the Cody and Cena match lacked, personally, is I feel like...
They didn't have chemistry.
Yeah, and you can't really expect them to. I mean, the last time they'd probably wrestled one-on-one was 10 years ago when Cody was Stardust. And the stakes were just a little bit lower
Here's the thing I've started to notice about Cena. He says, you know, I've lost a step. That's why I think I need to retire. There are times where I'm like, no, he is still at a high level. And then there were times, especially throughout this match, I was like, yeah, he's kind of lacking a little bit. Like, there was one specific part I heard you say, John, you got to squeeze him. He locked an STF, and it looked awful.
Yeah, like he's got his arms, like 2 feet of space between his arms and Randy's head.
Like, it looked like he was just laying on top of him.
Yeah.
But there were other times
My mom even noticed that during WrestleMania when he was locking it onto Cody. She's like, he's not even grabbing it.
Yeah,
I'm like, I know, Mom.
But there are other times I'm like, yeah, he still got it. Like, lifting up Randy for an AA after taking, like, 5 RKOs. But as far as the storytelling of this match, it got to a point, okay, the referee's out. Cena's going to start to cheat. Gets the belt. I think this is when he got taken through the table. Another referee goes out. Randy gets pissed off, for lack of a better term.
Here comes Aldis
and Jason Jordan and Jamie Noble and all these guys that are in the back. And every single one of them gets taken out by an RKO, which tells me, Randy Orton, you might need to go to the checkbook, because I think Nick Aldis might fine you again.
See, you know what I was hoping? And I said this. I was like, I was hoping whenever Aldis ran out there, he'd do what Paul did for Rob at One Night Stand. Nick would just do the count. I'm like, dude, you're the GM. Technically, he has authority to do that if he wanted to.
He could. But whatever. I mean,
it's better the way they did it, because then he just goes ham.
obviously Cena kicks out or has too much time and kicks out. Then we get to the greatest part of the match that a lot of people are mad about, but you and I absolutely loved it. R-Truth gets into the ring.
Well, he was setting him up for
the punt,
right?
He was setting him up for the punt kick.
He almost hit it earlier in the match.
He did.
And I actually, this is another thing. I loved how, some people probably didn't like that. I actually liked the spot of where Cena was acting like he was going to do the punt, and he was like doing Randy's whole thing where he's acting crazy. I actually thought that was cool. A lot of people might not have liked it. I actually thought that was cool.
Yes.
But
Randy is setting up for the punt kick. R-Truth gets into the ring, pleading that Randy Orton does not hurt his childhood hero, who R-Truth debuted before Cena and is older.
Oh, my goodness.
There was another video that came out afterwards of R-Truth and Michael Cole walking back to the Gorilla, and R-Truth says, he's a good guy. And Michael Cole says, no, he's not. Where have you been?
And no, he was, I'm the good guy. He's a good guy.
Like, no, he's not. But Cena grabbed
the sign on SmackDown. Let's go, Cena.
I don't know why Cena's mad. Truth took a bullet for him. He saved him.
I think he was laughing at him at first, and I think it was like as soon as Truth said, even though people say you can't wrestle and that you suck.
Well, that was the press conference, which we'll talk about here in a second. But Cena grabs the belt, obviously, takes out Orton. 1, 2, 3, Cena retains. Then he cuts a promo, which I didn't really see the need for, but it happened.
Well, then, did you see what happened after they cut to commercial? Because I don't have the premium Peacock. After they cut to commercial, he looked like he was getting emotional afterwards.
Well, they were chanting, thank you, Cena.
Which I guess that's why they went to commercial.
Maybe that's probably the last time we ever see Cena versus Randy Orton.
That's probably what it was, if I had to guess. Yeah.
And that's, if I had to put a finger on one match that defined our generation's childhood, it's probably that one.
Yeah. Definitely the one we saw the most, that's for sure.
I mean, that one, they probably all involve Cena. Cena Punk, Cena Rock.
Pretty much all Cena.
That's all one I pinned my finger on. The press conference.
Oh, my gosh.
Cena seems to be, sentimental a little bit. I was like, are they turning him face? What's going on? He's like, I'm happy to field questions. You guys don't deserve the hate I gave you last time.
We knew a swerve was coming.
R-Truth gets involved.
All we hear is, wait, where is he? I want to congratulate him.
R-Truth gets involved to congratulate him, tell him he's his hero.
He was actually laughing at first.
He broke him. Like, he broke character.
You think that's what it was?
That was a break. But then John, being the actor he is, gets right back into character and says, he used his government name too, Ron Killings. Ron, if you say something again, there will be repercussions. And then Ron tries
to... Just try to congratulate you.
I'm trying to congratulate you. AA's him in the table right in front of the media. I would love to be the media and just be like, what is going on? We just got it live and in person. First off, Cena interrupted Triple H. I forgot to mention that one.
Yeah, which I didn't even see that. See, you know what I would do? If I was one of the media guys, I'd be like, wait, don't leave. I have a question.
I would have followed him down, had a pen in my hand. But, I mean, I'm still red in the face, laughing, just thinking about R-Truth.
That was, he just sits there, holds his hands, like, no.
I mean, you could have given me a million options as to how this finish was going to go, and I never would have guessed R-Truth would be the one to cost Orton the match, but here we are. R-freaking-Truth just saved John Cena. I mean, what would you rate that match? Because for me, that was...
4.5.
4.5?
Yes.
I'll go 4.8.
Because as funny as R-Truth is, and this is not me hating on it at all, I loved it. It was hilarious. But... it's the last time we're ever going to see Cena and Orton. I'm like, did it really have to end that way? But that being said, I'd rather end that way than Travis Scott 1,000 times out of 1,000.
I mean, so. Comparing that match to the main event of WrestleMania, 10 times better.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, that match was...
Part of it has to do with the chemistry that Cena and Orton have compared to Cena and Cody.
They're two big-name guys that we've been watching forever. And plus, for me and you, it's the added factor of that's my favorite versus your favorite.
Yeah. I think, the whole Travis Scott thing. And like I said, I think I think the reason I'm more okay with it being R-Truth compared to Travis Scott is because R-Truth, theoretically, if you think about it, there is some storylines here with R-Truth and Cena. I mean, they do have some history together. If you really, really think about
it. If we make this a match.
Oh, we're going to. It's 2 weeks is coming. Don't you worry. It's
R-Truth is undisputed champion.
R-Truth is fighting for that title in 2 weeks. Don't you worry.
I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to make this a match, and Truth is going to think this is a tag match. It's going to happen.
And then who's gonna help him win the match?
Well, he's going to think him
Where's
and
my partner.
No, he's going to think him and John are a tag team.
Oh. I can see that now.
It's going to happen.
Cena's down. R-Truth just goes out. There's the whole hot tag thing he did in the Rumble last year with Dom.
It's going to happen.
Dude, when he did that, I don't think I've laughed harder at something in wrestling ever in my life.
I mean, R-Truth is just a national treasure. Oh my goodness. There is nothing that man does that I don't find hilarious. I will be very, very sad I hope we get the R-Truth retirement tour.
I hope we do too. And I'm going to defend him for the next couple of days on social media because I know he's going to be getting a lot of hate. And I'll be defending him. Because
here's the thing. R-Truth is going to come back on, what's he on, SmackDown now? He's going to come back on SmackDown and act like absolutely nothing happened.
He's not going to even know anything happened. He's like, are you stupid? He's like, no, he's gonna be out. I want to congratulate you.
He's going to be out in the parking lot with his Let's Go Cena sign.
He'll probably actually come out on stage into the ring now.
Oh, my God.
He'll be like, John!
The biggest return we got of Survivor Series in 2023 was R-Truth, and I will take that to the grave.
I forgot that he returned that night, too.
That was the massive return. The biggest one we've ever experienced.
That was the one I was most excited about. Oh, yeah. I'll never forget. Triple H in the press conference afterwards. Now, I know everybody's got questions to ask.
About the big return.
R-Truth.
I wonder if any journalists that were there actually had some super pressing questions for Cena.
And they probably knew. They were like,
I mean, realistically, Chris Van Vliet is probably texting Cena. Hey, that was hilarious.
He's probably, oh, hey, thanks, pal.
Thanks, pal. Hey, thanks, bud.
Yeah. Him and Cena are pretty close, it seems like. But yeah, I loved this. I think it's going to be great. Saturday Night's Main Event, I feel like it's kind of just like a house show almost that's just televised. So if you're going to do a Cena versus Truth match, do it on that. That's perfect, I think.
Or, I mean, they're not going to do it on a random SmackDown. I don't think they would do that.
No, I don't think so either.
Cena's going to take the Roman Reigns approach and kind of just fight on a pay-per-view and defend his title. He's only got a few dates left. Yeah. Not a few.
We'll be at one of them.
Yeah, we will. We will be in Knoxville here in a couple weeks at Thompson Bowling Arena, enemy territory.
Connor Newt's favorite arena. He's 1-0 in Thompson Bowling.
I'm undefeated in Thompson Bowling Arena.
Thank you for calling it Thompson Bowling, though, and not Food City Center. I appreciate
to call
that.
It Food City. That's like
I appreciate that.
Technically, Rupp Arena is called, you know, Rupp Arena at Central Bank Arena or something like that.
Or Central Bank Center or whatever.
Yeah. Who in their right mind, not just Kentucky fans, who in their right mind across all of sports is not going to call it Rupp
Arena? Well, at least Kentucky still respects the Rupp Arena name. Like, whenever you get a ticket to something in Kentucky, it still says Rupp Arena. It's just this Food City. It doesn't even say Thompson Bowling Arena. Yeah. Like, when we get tickets to SmackDown, it's just going to say Food City Center.
It's
ridiculous.
It's Thompson Bowling to me. Just
it's
like,
Commonwealth Stadium.
It's Thompson Bowling to me, just like it's still the Staples Center to me. That's where the L.A. Lakers play.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Overall, what's your rating for the pay-per-view?
Definitely better than... I'm not going to say all of WrestleMania, because I still think Night 1 was pretty good. Night 2 was the letdown, in my opinion.
Really?
Because I still think Night 1 was pretty...
I'm the opposite. I think Night 1 was the letdown, and Night 2 held up, except for the main event.
I'm probably just thinking about the main events, realistically. Because, realistically, I've slept quite a bit since WrestleMania. I don't remember all the cards all the way through. I'm probably just thinking about the main events, but regardless.
You calling me a liar? That's an inside joke, because I remember.
Oh, right. Yeah, I got you now. Yeah. I don't know. I think I would go... I'll go a solid four. I think I'll go 4.5 with this as well.
Really?
That's what I'm going to go with.
That's where
I'm
going to go to.
Four and a half.
I thought that was
well,
phenomenal.
Nothing can be a 5, of course. You know, that's just too. It can't be perfect. Well, you know, it could be perfect. Here's a perfect pay-per-view. Next pay-per-view is Money in the Bank, right?
Yep.
Here's a perfect pay-per-view. LA Knight wins Money in the Bank and CM Punk beats John Cena for the title. That's how you get a 5 out of 5, WWE. If you're listening, that's how you get a 5 out of 5 pay-per-view. Money in the Bank, those two things happen. It doesn't matter what happens in the rest of the card. It doesn't matter if...
Yeah, I don't, if they do Cena and Punk at Money in the Bank, they're going to do the exact opposite of what they did.
Probably.
Yeah. Cena is going to be the one to walk away with the title.
Well, don't ruin my dreams. it doesn't matter if Zoe Stark
I'm not
wins.
Into dreams, man.
Didn't she get released, though?
No. Wait, yes. No.
No, wait,
I don't really care.
Which one is she again?
She's the ugly one.
Oh, yeah, she did get released, I'm pretty sure. Oh, no, she's still signed. Never mind. Nope, she's
no,
not
the
released.
Other one got, the Baszler one got
Baszler
released.
Baszler got released, that's right. No Aura Collective.
I'm editing all of this out. But...
Yes, of course. where are we? What were we talking about? Money in the Bank?
Money in the Bank.
Yeah, it probably will be Punk losing that, unfortunately, but... Hey, you know what? I'm still excited
said,
for it.
Don't ruin my dreams. You know what? Don't be into dreams. Be into freaking nightmares, man.
Shout out John Gruden, who's definitely listening to this podcast
yeah,
about wrestling.
He should come on. This.
I love wrestling, man.
I love the business, man.
How about John Cena, man?
He sent me a box.
We got a box from WWE.
Oh, my God. I would need it.
Anywho.
Thank you very much for listening to Ring Knowers. Just wanted to do a quick reaction of Backlash over in St. Louis. As always, for Christian Skelton, I'm Christian. Wait, I'm not Christian. For Christian Skelton, I am Connor Newt. Thank you, as always, for listening to Ring Knowers on 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville Sports.